Welcome back again to BadQuaker.com. Today's an interview. Kai's with me, and I'm Ben. I'm here, and we're with the band Grenades.
Hey,
hi.
Hello.
Why don't you guys go ahead and introduce yourselves?
I'm Brian, and I play bass guitar.
I'm Mike, and I play guitar.
I'm Daniel, I play keys and then vocals.
And I'm Andrew, I'm the drummer.
We're in one of the most unusual buildings you could ever imagine. It's an old bicycle factory from like the early 1900s. It's to get into it, you have to like drive through like almost like a tunnel to get down into it. And we're in one of the practically burned out cities of the Rust Belt here in Dayton, Ohio. But we don't refer to that here. We don't refer to it here in Dayton as a burned out city in the Rust Belt. We refer to it as a vibrant, active, alive. Yeah, no, it's burned out.
No, it's a shining gem covered in ash. That's all it is.
Isn't Dayton the
gem city? Yeah. I think they say that because the river is converging to a certain point
yeah.
to make it look like a gem yeah. from, you know, up high, I think. But if anyone were down here, they might know the truth.
Dayton's got a pretty spectacular past in the, like, in right around the 1800s to 1900s, right in that turn of the century. It was like the technological center of the universe. Mm-hmm. It was like the Silicon Valley of
yeah.
its day.
We had National Cash Register. They were integral in like starting up big business and corporation and here, just within our city.
Yeah.
And that was a huge thing that we had for a long time.
A lot of the early auto industry, the innovations came out of Dayton. There's a guy, Kettering, that the town of Kettering is named after. He was like a mechanical genius. He made all kinds of innovations for the automotive industry. But we're not here for that. So you guys are an up-and-coming band. How long have you been together?
We have been playing music together as a four-piece for just about a year.
Almost a year.
A year to the day.
Yeah.
We started hanging out in Mike's bedroom and his
spare bedroom.
That's a different story.
Wrong message.
And we just started trying to hammer out some ideas before we found upon this place, which seemed to be more suiting for us to be able to make a lot of loud noise and stay up all hours working on stuff.
Yeah, this is really nice. Mm-hmm. I should describe it. We have this really nice professional sound studio inside this really old. The building itself looks like it's something from a zombie apocalypse. It's really
Absolutely.
Wild.
Yeah.
But inside here, we have some of the rustic things that you would expect from a small independent band that's in their startup. But we also
have lights.
Christmas lights. Mm-hmm. Got to have Christmas lights.
Yeah, great decor, posters everywhere.
Boarded up windows.
Yeah. I'd mention some of the equipment, but I don't want to like whet anyone's appetite and have them come looking for what we have here. But we've done pretty well for ourselves.
And for some of our regular listeners, you might hear a tone difference or a sound difference in this recording. We're in the studio using their kind of the side part of their equipment, we're not utilizing the expensive top level recording equipment that they have at their disposal. But anyway, so our intro music we stole from you guys, and our exit music. Tell us about that song.
The song's called Measure for Measure. It was probably one of the first songs that we started writing when we got together in this space and had to hammer out a whole bunch of new songs. We originally had like at least three or four, and then something happened with our equipment, and we lost everything that we'd been working on while we were at Mike's house.
Wow.
And so we had to start from scratch. And this one kind of came out of wanting to make something that was kind of dancey and thoughtful. You'll notice a lot of our lyrics have a certain sense of humor to it. We don't want to take ourselves too seriously, and we want to try and look at both sides of the story. It's certainly a song about a relationship and that just does not go well, and someone who's beating his head against his wall and just trying to figure it all out. So
that's kind of life.
Yeah, pretty much, you know. If I were a deeper man, I might try and like make a more like thoughtful parallel to that, but there really isn't, you know. I wanted to call it Measure for Measure because it comes from a Shakespeare play, and there's a few characters where this priest will spare this man's life if this woman who's training to be a nun will sleep with him. And she just completely refuses. Like, she would rather let her brother die than lay with this man. And this guy can't save a life, or can't get laid to save his, someone else's life. And that was kind of the big thoughtful process behind that. And I just wanted to try and work that in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's a good excuse to go ahead and just drop that song in, and that all the regular listeners of the podcast only get to hear a few seconds of it as the podcast starts and finishes. So we're just going to go ahead and play the song in its entirety for you and let you see what you think for yourself. And if you like it, we've got two different links on badquaker.com where this article is appearing. One link, you can download it right from badquaker.com, and the other link is from the Grenade site. You can get it there. And well, as a side note, actually, this puts it on iTunes as well. So,
sweet.
If you get this podcast, it will be embedded into that podcast. So, all right. So here it is, Measure for Measure by Grenades.
Lasted long. Hit it. I don't need nothing.
All right, well, that was Measure for Measure by Grenades. And you were saying that it part of the inspiration was from a Shakespeare play.
Yeah. Yeah, I've had a lot of time in the theater. I started out at Sinclair in a theater performance program. And through a friend, that's kind of where I met Mike, actually, at Building 2 in Blair Hall Theater. And that's a little while after that, I think we started hanging out a lot more and started making music. This was about 8 years ago. And we started out, been through a couple different bands before we landed on this.
What clubs have you played around locally here?
We play exclusively at Blind Bob's.
Yeah, yeah. Let's
give Blind Bob's a little free commercial.
Yeah, just about.
They are pretty much the epicenter of Dayton music. If, if you want to play music in Dayton, then Blind Bob's is the place to do it.
We'll edit
also
that.
Known as Blobs.
Yeah, they can cut that and post it.
Right. We spend a lot of time there. Mike and I DJ there every Tuesday night as well. Yet another plug. You're right about it being kind of the epicenter. I mean, there's many venues in Dayton for us to play. We've hit Canal Street. We've hit South Park Tavern as well. And all of them have their high points. We love playing there. But Bob's has been so kind to us as a new band to let us, like, work our set out, work out our songs in front of an audience, and just give us opportunity after opportunity. And, you know, we thank them for it.
Yeah. Now, how many of you guys got to go to Chicago the other day?
And that was just me.
Oh,
he was the only one.
He was the only one.
So what bands did you see there? Or do you remember any of it?
Well, I didn't necessarily see all the headlining acts that everybody was, you know, wanting to see.
Uh-huh.
Mostly stuck with the kind of unknown daytime bands that not a lot of people know about. I was going to see the Foo Fighters, but a torrential hurricane downpoured on us, so didn't do that. Probably my favorite band right now is called Friendly Fires, and they were there, and they put on an amazing show.
Mm-hmm.
Overall, there was a lot of bands that I never heard of and kind of checked out. One called Reptar, which I've told everybody to check out, but they were very fun, so free publicity for them, too.
Yeah. Now, you've got three songs right now that are available to download. How many do you have for a normal set that you play?
We're at...
Counting
seven? I believe we're at seven.
Yeah, you have seven original songs.
Seven. We got a couple more in the
list. You put a pretty good set together for a show, then.
Yeah, just about.
Yeah.
Our last set was our biggest set, our longest set. Mm-hmm. We played... 10 songs?
Nine songs. Nine songs. We had two covers. And we're working on some newer stuff right now. We really hope to get this stuff recorded by start of fall and get an EP out by early to late winter or so. We've been... Preferably Halloween is kind of the set date. Like, we want to try and have something really big for that day because it's... It's just about everyone's favorite holiday in the band. I know it's Andrew's.
My favorite day, period.
What kind of songs do you cover when you...
We've been looking at...
The two we've covered so far, we covered the Rat by the Walkmen and...
Wolf Like Me.
Thank you.
By TV on the Radio. When we were setting this out, we wanted to do songs that were within, like, at least the past 5 to 10 years, stuff... The kind of music that we're very, very interested in, and stuff that we love listening to.
Mm-hmm.
Since then, we've developed a new system of placing songs inside of a cookie jar that we've labeled the decider. Each member puts in 5 songs, and when it's time for us to figure out a new cover, we pull one out and just kind of go from there. That way, there's no quibbling. There's no one that can say, like, well, I don't really want to do that. It's too late. The decider has spoken.
We just heard Measure Measure a minute ago. What are the other two songs that you have available online?
I Am a Werewolf.
Mm-hmm.
And Out of Sorts.
Yes.
Tell me about Out of Sorts.
Out of Sorts is a tight 4.5-minute song that is basically bitching about all these modern conveniences that we have and how it's open communication has kind of shut us off from... interpersonal communication, being face-to-face with people.
Mm-hmm.
And then realizing how much you detest it and want to get away from it, it's really impossible to do something like that. You can't completely go off the grid.
Yeah.
You need to be able to quickly text a friend, you know, about where you're going to go or where you're going to meet up. Or if you're lost, you have the ability to look at something on your phone, for crying out loud, that you're carrying around in your pocket.
Yeah.
It's a maddening thing, but I think it's more or less acceptance, and, like, we can't point the blame because we're just as addicted to it as everyone else.
Yeah. It is a weird thing, you know. A company will give you a phone for free if you just stay their customer. And this phone does things that a person couldn't imagine that a computer could do, you know, 20, 30 years ago.
Yeah, even 10 years ago.
Yeah, and 40 years ago, nobody could imagine the computer. So,
right.
Well, there was like six people that could.
But. Yeah. The government always could.
Right, right, right. And they were twice
the size of a room.
Size of an entire room. And, you know, now we carry these things around like in our purses or our pockets.
Yeah, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. Well, why don't we play that song? And I'm sorry, what was the name of it again?
Out of Sorts.
Out of Sorts. Okay. This is Out of Sorts by Grenades. And that was Out of Sorts by Grenades. Now, as you play in the area... Rats, I forgot what I was going to ask. What did you just say?
upcoming shows.
Oh, upcoming shows. Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, fortunately, we can cut.
Yeah, we can cut
around that. Is this live?
This is why we don't record our podcast.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, because we have, seriously... We have in the middle of a podcast, my brain goes blank, and we just stare at each other, and she says, airplanes? Oh, yeah.
Or, you know, we get a cat that decides she wants to be part of the podcast.
Right. Yeah, yeah, jump up and stick her nose on the mic.
That's exciting.
So what kind of shows are coming up for you guys?
Let's see, we have the big 3-year anniversary at Blind Bob's.
No, Blind Blobs.
Blind Blobs.
Blind Blobs.
That's August 27th. We're going to be opening up that night. It's an entire, like, 4 days of live music there. Yeah, yeah, they start on Thursday. And there's our friends are going to be playing Friday night New Vega, and along with a million other bands. I might be off on that number, but we're playing Saturday night.
It's a rough estimate.
We got our friends Auburndale will be playing. There's God Bless and Asher Jones with Night Beast,
awesome.
And Astro Fang's going to be closing out the set as well. We have a really, really good slot in trying to, like, having to open up, but having the opportunity to just blow everybody away. We're hoping everybody can make it out for that.
It's cool. I think, like our night was the night for only fun, crazy fun.
Right, movies. Right. It's party band night.
Yeah, party band.
Yeah,
night.
Yeah.
I'm kind of
like that.
Glad that they picked us to be on that night. Like,
yeah.
That seems like the night.
Right, right. Alex Todd, who was able to put together a lot of that list out and like how the bands are going to go, did an immaculate job in knowing like what each night needs, and we're really fortunate and thankful to be able to do something like this.
And then after that,
we got Dayton Music Fest September 10th. Again at Blind Bob's, playing at 10:30. That's another really cool night downtown where finally there's a showcase for a lot of local talent, and it's diverse as mm-hmm. well as young and kind of vibrant. There's a Canal Street, I think, on Friday. That's when
that's
New
Buffalo
Vega.
Killers
yeah,
New, Vega.
New Vega's going to be opening up for Buffalo Killers, and it should be an incredible show. And they've done so much for us, just getting in here and getting set up. They're actually a few spaces down.
Yeah,
New Vega is?
Yeah, we
New
should
Vega.
Mention New Vega.
Yeah.
They're very good friends of ours from high school. Me and Andrew knew and were friends with all the guys from New Vega since high school. Went to high school with a lot of them. And they've been doing New Vega for a while now. They've had a ton of other bands since then. But New Vega is kind of where they found their voice. They're doing really well for themselves.
They, yeah, they got some radio time not long ago.
They're doing pretty good.
Where they also play us.
Yeah, yep. They're so integral in like trying to help us get like some exposure.
Oh yeah,
and I don't think it has so much to do with the fact that we're really tight friends, but that they believe in us.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
That they've had
our biggest fan.
Yeah, they've been a huge support system.
Except for Chance, he's right. Kind of a jerk.
Chance is on the list.
Yeah,
but everyone has really stepped up and just trying to help us out and just become a better band, know what to expect, know what we need to do. They just released an album not too long ago called Tempo, which you can download on iTunes as well. This is from the band New Vega.
Pretty incredible too.
Very
just
good
do,
album.
Just do a search for New Vega, and you should be able to find Tempo on there.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. They gave us a lot of tips on how to record ourselves. That's how the demos came about. We were sick of having to like trying to find a space where we could record and like get ourselves good in practice and ready for it. We were just so stoked to have good equipment enough to where we can record in here and it sounds just fine.
Yeah.
With enough software and digital magic, we were able to put together these songs and make them sound like fairly decent for being in this squalid of a space.
Whatever, this place is luxury.
Yeah, yeah. The marble floors were expensive, but they were totally worth it acoustically. Mm-hmm. Well, we got some other bands that we're friends with we'd like to shout out.
Sure.
You know, if you're not doing anything on September 9th and 10th, and you're downtown Dayton, go to any venue, Oregon Express, Blind Bob's, Canal Street Tavern, I believe Tumbleweed Connection is going to have some bands there too, and South Park Tavern is going to start out the night, I believe, starting around 6 o'clock or so. But if it's late and you need to know what's going on, just come on down. There's plenty of volunteers. There should be posters and letting everybody know what's going on. Thanks for letting us come on here and talk.
Yeah, no problem at all. Ben. You know, we've been using your music since the very beginning of the show. And so, you know, we got to repay the debt somehow.
No. Plus, my lawyer will contact you.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Plus, if you guys ever make it really big, then, you know, we can write off your coattails.
And yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Thanks for letting us ride on yours for that.
Yeah. Not very big coattails on either side.
Plus, there's always that chance that, you know, the Homeland Security will come busting in to raid you for being part of a crazy anarchist cult. So, we should give you some free publicity before that happens.
Yeah, we appreciate that. Thank you.
We should make an official statement that you guys are not tied to any kind of anti-government plot or anything.
It's very humbling.
Yeah, it is.
I feel safe.
I live kind of a secret life.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate you coming on the show with us. We didn't really make any of the political directions that we usually go on badquaker.com,
but really this was politics.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, music is politics in a way, you know. It's
I think so.
As a matter of fact, let's just turn this into politics real short and briefly without boring anybody, but in a sense, music is the ultimate anarchy. There's no government agency telling you, "All right, I want you to produce this kind of music with this kind of lyrics and shoot for this kind of audience."
Well, no, that's what the music industry is for. Yeah.
That's
why they don't work.
That's fascism.
Nobody goes through them.
Right.
That's fascism. But it is. That the main part of the music industry, I don't want to put words in your guys' mouth, but the main part of the music industry has such a monopoly, and it's not like a one-company monopoly, but it's a collection of companies that all do the same thing. And they all decide what they're going to issue out to everybody. Mm-hmm. And then the radio stations mostly, not all, but they mostly play that.
True that. I feel like to go into a deeper parallel, as you can see what we've got around us, we're as independent as it gets. We've got to do it ourselves. We've got to work very hard and hopefully come up with a product that people want and people will do. And we can't go necessarily inside the machine to do that, because there's always going to be someone saying, "What if you slicked your hair back, and what if you wore more white?" I don't want to do that. I don't want someone to tell me, like, how I'm going to look and what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
The only way for us to really, really get ahead in our career and even in our life is to just do it ourselves and not have anyone else forcing something down our throats or forcing it into someone else's throats.
And by you taking that natural route, you're providing yourself as the product, and the customers then know what they're getting. They're getting the real thing. They're not getting a packaged, pre-made product that's, you know, that's McDonald's in a different form.
True.
They're getting something, you know, they're getting the real you, and they have that that opportunity to choose the real thing. They're not choosing, you know, I'm thinking, like, if you go down and you buy a packet of peanuts, you think in your mind, "I'm just getting peanuts." Until you turn around and look at the label. And you don't really have a choice about all that crap that they put in there. You know, but you got it. And it's kind of that way with most of the corporate bands. It's like, well, I thought I was getting this, but then after I started looking at it, that's not really what those guys are.
Yeah.
You know, that's just the image. That's the fancy.
That's the gloss. Yeah. The great thing about living in this age and working in this industry, or at least doing what we're doing, is that the veil has been lifted a while back, and everybody knows, like, the machinations of the big companies or the record label, as it were. Put that in finger quotes. What's amazing is that people with enough gumption can do it themselves. The industry's falling. You know, the only thing that you can really do to make it interesting again is to do something different and to do something original. So whether we decide to just put out music and only music, or then want to integrate, like, some other art form, like we put together videos, or we put together something else that's going to make the experience of listening to music that much more in-depth, whether it be visual or something that you can just experience all on your own, is way more important. And that is what people are going to go for, I think, hopefully in the future. They're going to want something that's more.
Yeah.
We are a consuming culture.
Yeah.
So if we have the option to where you can listen to a song done in a different style, or if it leads to, like, an app where you can manipulate the song itself, which a lot of artists are doing now, then I think you're going to be more inclined to go for something like that than the bag of peanuts that this company's trying to sell you.
And I think it's really interesting how the music industry in the past decade or so has really shown that a truly free market wants so much diversity, because, you know, before, especially the internet, your options were what you could buy at the, you know, at the record store, and that was completely controlled.
Yeah.
And as soon as the consumers were able to get music in a way that wasn't tightly regulated, you could really see that the music industry started to crumble.
Right.
Because they didn't have that control anymore.
Thanks, Internet.
Well, you know, the music industry started to crumble, but at the same time, it does open the floodgates for independent artists.
Mm-hmm.
Either, yeah.
You're not going to get, you know, multi-platinum records out of rock bands anymore, or you're not going to get hit singles from independent rock bands anymore. But at the same time, you know, if you put the effort in, you're going to get the music that you like, and it's going to be cheaper in the long run, and the person that is producing the music, like us, they still can make money off of that if they do it the right way.
Well, you get a bigger chunk of that, you know, income that's, that money doesn't get filtered.
That much more in your control. Yeah. That's hopefully, that's exactly what we want, is to just have control over what we put out and what we say and what we do, and not someone else tinkering too much, letting us have our way with it. You know, if we fail, hey, that's fine. We're experimenting. You know, we're artists. We'll try something different. But we won't necessarily have someone's say or too much input.
Well, I want to thank you again for coming on the show with us. And we'll have to do this again, like, after you guys are really famous and everything, or maybe even before
that. Let's do that before.
So, like, what, three, four months?
I think just about. I mean, I'm on a five-month plan, but I can accelerate that.
Hopefully by the new year.
Yeah.
We'll be nice and rich. All that stuff about the music industry we said was
just joking about that.
Yeah.
Well, we just had to say that for the audience.
Yeah, you know, the music industry, call us.
Right? Give us a call.
Well, thanks again for coming on the show.
Thank you.
And as always, get a hold of us at badquaker.com. If you have comments, send them to me, ben@badquaker.com, or ki@badquaker.com. And if there's a problem with the website, or you have a suggestion or whatever, get a hold of the admin, badquaker@badquaker.com. And as you might have surmised at this point, the website is badquaker.com.
Off the album badquaker.com.
From the from the tour badquaker.com. Thanks a lot, folks.
Thanks, listeners.
Thank you.
Bye.